This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 6th of May 2011, and we are joined once again on the line by our favorite contributor and regular guest, the world-renowned Bob Chapman of TheInternationalForecaster.com. Bob Chapman, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you once again for taking the time to talk with us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank all your listeners to continue to listen. I try to bring you the best I can.
And you do a good job, because I do get a lot of feedback from our interviews. There's a lot of people that really enjoy your input, and I do too, so let's get into it. We have just incredible things going on in the world once again this month. It seems every month I say that, and every month it gets even more incredible. And we've just witnessed the amazing mass, well, what I've been calling a psyop of the Osama bin Laden kill, supposedly. But I'd love to hear your take on this. What happened last week, and what's likely to come out of it?
Well, my initial reaction was, he's been dead since December of 2001. A number of sources verified that over the years, particularly Benazir Bhutto, who was a CIA MI6 operative ever since she was at Radcliffe at Harvard. And because of her exposure to the fact that Mr. bin Laden was no longer alive, she was assassinated. And the assassination, I'm quite sure, was done at the behest of the CIA and MI6. And the reason I say that is that her recruitment back in the late 60s and early 70s at Harvard, I believe, was done, and I've been told by insiders, was done by someone who I knew quite well. And the fact that he was very upset when she was killed led me to believe that he, who had spent his entire life in counterintelligence as well as with the State Department, was probably looking at his history and saying, we're not supposed to do those things. You know, everybody is entitled to one mistake. Well, it doesn't work that way with these people, because they were afraid that she'd say more. And so the groundwork was already set years ago. So the whole affair with the termination, supposedly, of Mr. bin Laden was a psyop. It was an event created by the CIA, probably for a number of reasons. And whether or not he supposedly was buried in the ocean or not remains to be seen. But I don't think so. And I think the main impetus for what has happened is to help Mr. Obama, because his ratings are dreadful, and he'd like to be president again, or they would like him, the people who control him, to be president again, because he does exactly as he's told, and he's not as dumb as the last president. And so I think that is the main reason it was done. Other reasons will probably show up as we go forward, but that's the one I think is the main one. And then, of course, that event leads to everything that's going on in Middle East and North Africa, which is very large. And I think that there's a good chance that the U.S. and the British could have made a terrible mistake in following the path that they've fallen in that region just recently.
I would desperately like to agree with you that this Osama PSYOP was done in order to boost Obama's polls, but I just can't imagine that something of this enormity was rolled out at this point. I could imagine that as a type of October surprise event if it was only going to be about the polls, but I can't imagine why that was done a year and a half out from the elections. I think the Obama boost that this gives is obviously, I mean, that would have been easily foreseeable and obviously a benefit, but I can't imagine that something of this enormity was done just for that, and I worry about the fact that just 6 days before this allegedly happened, we had the WikiLeaks release of documents from Guantanamo Bay that just happened to divulge that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the so-called mastermind of 9/11, said that if Osama is ever killed or captured, there are nukes all over Europe that Al-Qaeda is willing to use. And of course, we all know to read CIA and Mossad and MI6 for Al-Qaeda. So I wonder if there's the possibility of rolling this out into a false flag to even further the war of terror narrative.
Well, the person you speak of may have been saying what he said out of bravado, so to speak. You know, Al-Qaeda and Taliban have been secretly funded over the years by MI6 and CIA. They're creatures of them. Bin Laden was one of their creatures. I mean, I started writing about him in 1988, and he'd been in operation with the U.S. for the previous 8 or so years. In fact, what really keyed me in was when Ollie North was being interrogated by the Senate, and they asked him why he had to have this alarm system that the government paid for. And he said because he was afraid he and his family would be assassinated by the most evil man in the world, Osama bin Laden. And nobody knew who he was. He'd never been talked about prior to that time. And that's what started to key me in. And so, because I knew that whole thing that they were involved in was all about money and drugs. And then another piece of the puzzle came together. And so for the Al-Qaeda and Taliban to have nuclear weapons in Europe or the United States is possible, but I don't know that it's probable, because these people within those groups, I believe, were under the control of the U.S. and the British. And so I discount that, unless they wanted to have a false flag event of a nuclear nature, which they supplied, which is possible. You know, there's so many possibilities here. It's so hard to call because of all the cross-references, if you may. I don't think we're going to find out the real reasons, if there are additional reasons, and I'm sure there are. We're not going to find out until they happen, because we just don't have that good intelligence.
That's right, and let me just interject to clarify that I absolutely 120% concur with everything you've just said there, and I know that Al-Qaeda is really a creation of the Western intelligence agencies from the ground up. So when Khalid Sheikh Mohammed supposedly says these things in his Guantanamo interrogations, which we know was waterboarding, where he was waterboarded 180-plus times in 1 month, I don't think we can take anything he says seriously as actually something coming from an Al-Qaeda operative. I think it's just words that have been placed in his mouth by the interrogators, and he's likely a manipulated stooge or a patsy at any rate. So so I don't take it seriously that Al-Qaeda as some sort of terrorist organization has nuclear weapons, but I think a nuclear false flag could work very well for the globalists, insofar as they are at this time, it seems, they're trying to ramp up the possibility of a strike on Pakistan. And of course, Pakistan, a nuclear power, and if they could be a rogue nuclear power, that would justify the incursion all the more. And I see some very, very troubling things shaping up in that region, especially as Pakistan is turning more towards China. And I think the Americans are very wary of that and looking for an excuse to further invade that country.
Well, you could very well be right. One of the things that most people don't know, and I know because it's one of my subscribers, is involved and has been for the last 2 years in guarding the nuclear facility in Pakistan. Now, that is the Rangers, the U.S. Army Rangers. And they have been there guarding that facility for a long time. So, you know, I say to myself, if that's the case, would it really be necessary for the United States to invade there? I don't know. At the moment, I would have to guess I don't think so. What is more concerning is the situation in Syria, where public discontent, which is always underlying, was ramped up by agents of the U.S. and the British. And the reason it was done is that, and the man that runs the country, company, is a butcher, there's no question. But the Russians have a military base there, naval base. And I think that the reason they're in there, in Syria, causing those troubles, is they want to try to cause Russia trouble and maybe bait them into joining some sort of retaliation. The same thing, to an extent, is true in Libya. We hear about the four aquifers, the good oil, the independent governmental central bank, the 143.8 tons of gold, the inability of Gaddafi to join AFRICOM, which is a very important thing to the new America century, which are the neocons. They've frozen $100 billion worth of assets of Libya, which belong to the Libyan people, not to Mr. Gaddafi. 2 days ago, Mr. Clinton recommended that we take some of those billions and give them to the rebels. Well, I'm getting to the bottom line here. Well, the rebels are Al-Qaeda and Taliban, controlled by the CIA. The man leading the operation lived in Virginia for the last 20 years and works for the CIA. So what Mr. Clinton is saying, let's take some of the Libyan money and give it to the rebels, which we control, so that we can defeat the Libyan army under Mr. Gaddafi on the ground. And this is very important, because they've tried from the air, so to speak, and it's been only relatively successful. They haven't been able to overthrow Mr. Gaddafi without sending in foreign troops like the American Marines or Army or whatever. I don't think any other country has enough people to send in. But in that flow, you've never been told that the Chinese had 29,000 people working there. And they've all been pulled out of the country. And they get a large quantity of oil, which is high quality oil, from Libya. And so what this is doing, like in Syria, there, the confrontation with Russia, they're confronting the Chinese. Now, there's other reasons, as I just explained, and really they boil down to looting the country. And this is not unusual, it happens all the time. And stealing everything they can get their hands on. But they're confronting China, and that's why I think China came out several days ago and said, well, we've decided that we're going to get rid of two-thirds of our dollar holdings. Well, that's $2 trillion. And what they're saying is, okay, we're going to lose a lot of money, but if we take the dollar down, your empire is going to collapse. And so what's happening? We could very well, and I think there's an excellent possibility, that World War III has already begun.
It's very chilling to hear you say that, because this is something that I've been talking about on my podcast for a couple of months now, and everything that I see and everything that I see shaping up is really about this behind-the-scenes sort of almost Cold War indirect confrontation and proxy wars playing out between China and Russia and the NATO countries, and I concur completely with it, that assessment. I think it's not the only reason that that things are happening in Libya and Syria, but I do think that it is something that's happening, and it's not being reported on, obviously, out in the open. It's something that's very much happening under the scenes. And I do see that that the way that this could develop into a hot World War III scenario very easily and very quickly. And it always leaves me wondering, what is the best way that we as a collective, as individuals, can possibly confront this and stop this from happening?
Well, you can always email them and say, we know what you're doing, and this is what you're doing, and we don't want you to do that, and we're going to try to influence everybody we can on the facts that you are doing what you're doing. You know, the same thing is true in other facets, particularly in the episode that you referred to earlier, commodities and silver. The market is being rigged, and anybody with half a brain knows that, and particularly the professionals. You just want to be on the right side of the trade. I mean, the United States government controls the exchanges via J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Deutsche Bank, HSBC. They're all in it together. They're all owners of the Federal Reserve. And so they are the ones who create everything on Wall Street. They create all the inside information. They don't use it. They create it. And if people can understand that, they can understand what just happened in the silver market. There was no resistance at $50. The people who own long positions, who bought them in 1980, are between 85 and 90 years old, for the most part. And probably 90% of those people are deceased. And that means that there's no overhang. They just picked that spot because it was a good one to jump on the market. And what did they do? They increased margin requirements from $9,500 to $21,600 in 5 days. That's never happened before. Now, they did that to save the short position of J.P. Morgan Chase and HSBC, because they own the Fed, so the Fed puts the heat on the exchange, the CME, which owns the COMEX, and they say, look, get these margins up. And so they did. So that means the people have to put up 5 times as much money to get the same contract. Now, to small and medium-sized investors with any kind of position, that's a lot of money. Big hitters, it doesn't make any difference. They can buy for cash if they want. Now, more insidious than that is, I've been told by my contacts, that the Treasury Department went to all of the big commodity brokers in the country, and probably outside the country as well, and said, look, we want you to give recommendations to sell commodities, particularly gold and silver. And they went and did that. And they also told them, we want you to raise margin rates, double what our rates are on the, from the CME. So they don't have, at places like Morgan Stanley and all of these other big commodity players, their margins are not $21,600. Their margins are $41,000, $42,000. So it was impossible for the small hitters on the long side of the market to stay in the market. And that's what caused what you've just seen. It was your government at work. The United States government did that.
Absolutely incredible.
And of course, that is all controlled by Morgan and that gang of criminals.
Exactly. Well, that's incredible. Let's stop there for a second and just go back over that, because what you just dropped there is really incredible information. So the Treasury Department is out in the open just collapsing the silver market because they're worried about the run-up that's been taking place.
Well, they're not going to tell you that, but that's what they did. And the Treasury is told what to do by the bankers I just talked about, because they own the Fed. They own the government. I mean, look at the politicians. 95% of them are bought off. They do that through campaign contributions and lobbyists. Who are the big campaign contributors? All of those companies, most all of the lenders, the banks, the insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, and transnational corporations. That's where 80% of the money comes from. And so they're buying off the politicians. But it's the same group who control the entire government. If you look at the people who serve in government, and particularly at the Treasury Department, it's like a revolving door between Wall Street and banking. And if you look at the change that occurs when you have one administration, one party take over from the other, like we've just seen, they have Team A and Team B. And Team A was in there for 8 years with the Bush administration. And when Mr. Obama won the election, Team B came in. They're all the same group of people. They're all buddies, and they all believe in world government, and they're all anti-American. And so that's why these things happen. So you say to yourself, well, how can I invest if it's like that? Well, you can. Because in the final analysis, the only safe place to be is in gold and silver related assets. That would be bullion, coins, and shares. Because in the final analysis, it means safety. Because sooner or later, the market's going down. And sooner or later, interest rates unofficially are going to go up. And those markets are going to fall. So what you do is you continue to accumulate the only asset that you know over a period of time is going to retain its value. And just look at the last 11 years. 9 major currencies versus gold and silver. Each year, gold and silver, on average, has increased in value over 20% versus those 9 currencies. So you say to yourself, well, where would I want to be? I think on the long term, I want to be in gold and silver related assets. So if you bought at 50 in silver a week and a half ago, and now it's 34, you just wait, it'll bottom out, and you start buying again. That's all. Because it's the only place to go to. There is no other place. Because all the other places, as you found out in real estate, in spades, and twice in the market in the last 11 years, in March and April of 2000, it collapsed. And then it went to 14,200. It collapsed to 6,600 in round figures. And incidentally, we call both of them. And so we're having an interlude here. And what they're doing is temporary in nature. They're trying to control and shape markets. And on an intermediate to long-term basis, it doesn't work. So if you're long gold and silver-related assets, you stay long. If you can get more money, you do more buying, because it's going to go back up again.
Well, clearly that was also meant as a psychological operation to head off the mass resistance that was forming around the idea of Crash Morgan buy silver.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And we are breathing down their neck in every avenue. Talk radio, programs like this, and the programming that we see throughout the world, and then the internet, these people in charge, they're running around in circles. They're trying to make this Middle East thing work so they can get a third world war going. And the reason for that is that they want to cover up what they've done economically and financially to the major countries, the United States, England, and Europe. Because the idea was to bring them to their knees financially and economically so they could force them to accept world government. That's what this is all about. And that's why they're doing what they're doing in the Middle East. One of the problems, and the reason that they haven't moved in the Middle East on Iran, is they don't have enough troops. We found out in every war in history, if you invade a country and you're successful, that's okay, no matter what the cost. But you've got to occupy it. And they don't have the people to do it. And their so-called allies, like England and Germany and France and so on, they don't have the manpower either, unless they all institute drafts and start training everybody. And maybe 6 months to a year from, say, today, they can send more troops to occupy every town in Iran. You've got to be prepared for that. You can't do it ex post facto. And they're not prepared for that. Yes, they've got naval power and they've got air power, but you've got to have the troops on the ground, and they don't have the personnel to do it.
You break it, you buy it, and America's all out of capital.
That's another factor. In fact, it's in this issue coming out tomorrow. I was writing about this morning. Where is the money going to come from? Are they going to create another $5 trillion to have a third world war, maybe $20 trillion? I mean, is the dollar going to be even worth anything? I mean, you talk about hyperinflation during a war. I mean, that's something you really can't stand to make the war work. I mean, is anybody going to work to make planes and bullets and so on if they get paid $1,000 a day and at the end of the day the purchasing power is about 5 cents? I don't think so. No, they're in a box. They can't get out. We know what they're going to do. We just got to inform people so that they can understand what's being done to them. Because there's going to come a time when control is going to be very, very loose by them, and they could easily lose control. And once they've done that, it's our turn. And it won't be Mr. Nice Guy.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. Let's flesh that out a little bit, because it seems at first glance, at any rate, that control is only going to increase, and in the event of some big calamity or false flag or whatever they're going to pull, it seems like they're going to clamp down even harder and start the complete total police state. But you're saying they're going to lose control as this process begins.
That's very possible. It's negotiable. It's fluid. We don't know how it's going to come out. We know what the Pentagon's going to do. They're going to order the military to do what government says. And the military is going to say, no, we're not going to do that. That's an unlawful order. We're not going to do that. As you know, I do military programs. And I get a lot of feedback from these people. And that's their attitude. Bona fide orders, they will follow. But if they're told to round up Americans and put them in camps, they ain't going to do it. And that's where everything's going to turn. And you might call it a coup. Well, that's fine. We're seeing a coup now in Greece. But they can't make it work. And the reason why is too many people like me have been on Greek radio and television and in the newspapers telling the people the truth. And they understand that the bankers are going to try to take the whole country over, essentially. And they know it, because we told them. Can you imagine the president, or PM, whichever he's called in Greece, Papandreou, whose father was also, we'll call him president, during the 80s, Andris, his father, was a Marxist. He is as well, George. And he made a deal with the bankers to roll all of the national assets of Greece into their hands for being elected. And this was exposed this week on Greek television, which is astounding. I mean, when you stop to think of it, and because I get all this intel coming back from Greece every day, and you see it in the International Forecaster, Mr. Trosan, the ex-IMF chief of what in the IMF, I don't know, said in an interview on television that Mr. Papandreou had made an agreement with the IMF, the bankers, and the European Union shortly before he was elected, and did not reveal that to anyone. And under the Constitution, they need a two-thirds vote to do that, and they're not going to get 50%. Because anybody who votes to collateralize loans with all the Greek assets of the whole country, the whole history of Greece, is not going to be reelected. And I don't think they'd live to spend the money. You know, these people all know each other. They live next to each other for generations, sometimes for several hundred years. And so I don't think the bankers are going to get away with this one. And if they don't, Greece will default. And that will be followed by Ireland and Portugal and maybe even Spain. And that's going to cause a euro problem. And that's going to be coming to fore soon when this vote comes up. Because if the vote is, no, we're not going to give away our country as collateral, then the euro will fall. Other currencies will gain against it, including the dollar. And Greece will drop out of the euro zone and have to do what they have to do to survive. But these are the kind of things that we're accomplishing indirectly. And, you know, why people say the things they do, whether they have conscience or whether they do it mistakenly. I mean, you talk about Miss Bhutu and what she said, which cost her life after lifelong service to U.S. and British counterintelligence, which just goes to show you don't want to work for those people. And I made that decision in 1959. I refused to go to work for them, and they didn't like it very much. And you have these other things at play, and there's so much going on out there that you, unless you're sitting on it all the time, every day, like someone like you and I are, you can't keep up with it. And, you know, we've got to back into a lot of the decisions we make as to what these people are going to do, because very often we don't have the inside intel that can give us the answers. And so it's a guessing game, but we've been pretty good at it.
Well, you're right, but I think it's perhaps even part of their strategy that the, as you've mentioned before, the pace and the acceleration of the events that are coming out at us right now is just increasing and increasing, so that even people like yourself and myself who are sitting on this all day, every day, and really watching with our ear to the ground and completely covering the news wires, I mean, it's getting harder and harder to even keep up with these incredible events. And I've found myself staying up till 3 or 4 in the morning many days this week just trying to keep up with this Osama bin Laden story and all of this unfolding events. So it is getting extremely difficult. So I can imagine there are a lot of people who maybe are overwhelmed and just want to tune out from all this information. What can you say to that type of fatigue that people get from keeping their eye on all of these balls?
They get to listen to us and hope we're right. It's as simple as that. They don't have any other outlet. There's no truth out there. I mean, you know, the people who do the same things that you and I do in different ways and different degrees. There's a handful of us on the firing line all the time. And sometimes some of us get killed. That's why I'm where I'm at. And I'm sure that's why you're where you're at. And because they don't like what we're doing. And but if we don't do it, the people will remain in the dark. And what will happen is that they'll be totally controlled and enslaved. And I don't want that, neither do you, and that's why we do this. And there are others to do it as well, sometimes better. But there's not enough of us. If there were thousands, I'd love it. Especially at this stage of my life. Most people like me are sitting on the porch in a rocking chair, glued to the TV like a zombie. I'm lucky at my age because I'm able to do what I can do, and I really enjoy doing it, and I'm helping people, and that's my main motivation. But, you know, you put all these things together, they're overwhelming. The Bin Laden event, the false live birth certificate, the incursion into Libya, the starting of riots and turmoil throughout North Africa and the Middle East, the financial situation in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Europe, which is degenerating quickly. Where do you put your money where it's safe? How can I protect my family? It goes on and on. I mean, we live in a time that you really don't want to live in, but you have to because you're alive. I mean, when I look back, I lived through the Second World War, fortunately in the United States, and then I saw all of the things that happened over all the years. That was nothing compared to what we're facing today. That was child's play. It was like scripted. It was easy. What we're facing is the most difficult time of our lives. Everybody's lives all over the world.
That's a very sobering assessment because I know you do speak from incredible experience, and so it is very, very chilling to hear that, and it's even more chilling to think that people like you and I are really, I don't even want to say the backbone of the resistance, but there are, you know, very few of us out there that are doing this, not nearly enough, and that's why every day I really do hope to see more and more people taking this up and beginning to do whatever they can to get the information out, because I think absolutely the most important thing that we can be doing as individuals right now is reaching out to police and military to make sure that they are on our side when the hammer drops, and also to inoculate the public against false flag terrorism, because that is always the convenient excuse that governments love to use to try to start wars, which of course will be the cover for the real economic collapse, which again they're angling towards, and they want to collapse it in a way that it'll fall in their favor. So some very, very incredible, chilling, amazing, unbelievable times, and it's an interesting time to be alive at any rate, and I've said that many times before, and it's getting more and more true by the day. At any rate, we're just about ready to wrap up the conversation, but is there any other points that you'd like to hit on before we wrap up?
Well, you touched on something I think is very important domestically in the United States. Everybody is our brother, and that includes the military and the police. And they should take orders from where they're supposed to take them, and they shouldn't be the puppet of a person who isn't even qualified to be the president of the United States. And we have a colonel now incarcerated in prison because he said he wouldn't take an illegal order from a man who is not legally able to be the president of the United States. And so the police should not allow federalization of their forces. And it's very, very important that they don't do that, because the public's going to want to help them. But if they're an adversary, we can't help them. And the same thing is true with the military, although I think the military has a better grasp of the problems that they face than law enforcement does. It's more prone to being manipulated, and very often the character base is somewhat different. But those are important things to remember, and that goes out not only American to American, but American to people all over the world. We're all in this together, no matter what color or religion we are. If we want to survive and have our prodigy survive in the future, you've got to act together. You've got to help one another. And that's very, very important here, because if we don't do that with our fellow man, what's the sense in doing anything?
That is such a deep and profound truth, and that's exactly what motivates me to do the work that I'm doing, because ultimately that does come down to it. It is all of us as a mass together that are facing a very, very, very few people who are manipulating the system from above. And once we realize that, and once we internalize that, all of the petty little disagreements and things in our daily life melt away, and we can concentrate on building the communities that will be the real alternative to the system they want to place us in, a system of complete dependency and ultimately enslavement. So we have to keep that in mind. The policemen and military are not our enemies. They are our friends, and we have to reach out to them and make sure they know what's going on. And absolutely right. And let me just use this opportunity to once again plug an excellent documentary I've seen recently called Into the Fire by Canadian filmmaker Dan Dix about the G20 in Toronto last year and the incredible abuses of the police state that were going on in Toronto as the leaders were meeting to hatch their plans. And just chilling scenes coming out of Toronto last year. And I think not only Canadians, but people around the world really need to look at that documentary to see just how quickly a supposedly free and democratic country can turn into a complete police state. And we have to resist that by making sure that the police are on our side. All right, well, Bob Chapman, again, an incredible conversation, and I would be remiss in my duties if I did not once again draw everyone's attention and implore them to go to theinternationalforecaster.com in order to find some excerpts from your newsletter and hopefully subscribe to the newsletter. Tell us again about the newsletter and how people can get a copy.
Well, the newsletter is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the internet. I like to think that everything that you need to know is in that publication every week. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com, that's intforecaster.com. Or if you have a question, and we answer everyone, if you'd like a copy, you can get one. And if you'd like our latest releases on gold and silver shares, you can get all those by emailing us, and that address is Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. Bob at intforecaster.com, or for those of you who would like to call toll free, you can call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178. You get either free copy there, and they have a special offering there for those of you who want to become subscribers, a 1-year free subscription to the International Forecaster. They have an offer, and the offer is terrific. So if you want to subscribe, take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And if not, why not? Absolutely. People need to get a hold of this information. So theinternationalforecaster.com is the place to go. And I certainly hope people will take you up on that and become subscribers and stay tuned into what's really going on. And Bob Chapman, every single month that we talk, it seems the world is a bit crazier than the previous month. So I look forward with some trepidation, but with some hope, I guess, towards our next conversation. So once again, in the meantime, please take care, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you all for listening, and I'll be here next month.